All right, we're recording the Courtroom Observer call on January 6, 2016. And we really want to get more people involved in the Courtroom Observer program, especially calling the judges, the sheriffs, and the courthouse for people that have cases that request it. Not everybody requests it, but most people do. And so we have a case tomorrow morning, and her case is in Texas Central Time, and it starts at 9 a.m. So for me, I'm in the East Coast time, so I would call, I would probably call at 9 from my end so that I can, you know, get it in there before her court case starts. But it's really important for us to call just before or during her case, but you can call the day before too. I mean, people could have called today as well. I would like any new people to unmute themselves right now.
Yeah, this is Gunter, coordinator with Oregon.
Gunther, hi, this is Laura.
Hi, Laura. Hey, cool. Okay, I thought that sounded a little like you.
Yeah, great. Oh, good. I'm glad you're on. Anybody else? Character?
Laura, who else? Laura, where is this lady's name that you keep on mentioning her case tomorrow? It's not on the call to action page.
It should be. Oh, you know what? It probably isn't, but I sent out a Courtroom Observer email to Texas, and then I sent out a mass email about getting on the call tonight, and I put her information in there.
Okay, I sent you a Skype. Maybe I need to be. I might not be on the list.
Okay. All right, I can send that to you. But anyway, so I wanted the new people to go to National Liberty Alliance website. Even the old people can too, but I want everybody to know where things are and the call to action page. And I guess Carl is really busy trying to do the constitutional class, and he is, you know, the IT person that puts up the call to action stuff. And so you know, her case should be up there. Anyway, so the best place to go if you're is to fill out a form for a Courtroom Observer request. There's two places you can go. So you can go under committees, then you go under Courtroom Observers, and another menu pulls down. And you have to be logged in, because if you're not logged in, you won't get all the different opportunities here. So once you're logged in, you go to committees. You go to Courtroom Observers, and then another menu scrolls down, and then you go to the call to action on the left. It's the second one down. I'm sorry, that's the call to action page, which actually I want everybody to get used to going to, because that has the protocols on how to the talking points, how to introduce yourself, and some of the talking points that you might want to use. They're on there, and then it tells you underneath that, you know, whose cases are up. And then there's also, there is a request for Courtroom Observers, and that's the fourth one down on the left. And that's the form that everybody that needs Courtroom Observers and people to call for their case to fill out that form, because it's really good about everything that we need to know about your hearing. So I just want everybody to know where that is. And then there's another place that you can go to. Support has also, that's in the middle. That's the middle button on the menu. And that has call to action as well, and it has request Courtroom Observers. So that's a shortcut instead of having to go to committees. But either one has them in there. And so is there anybody that's on the call who has a case in right now? Unmute yourself.
I have one.
And what's your name?
Sharon.
Sharon.
Sharon, and, Connecticut.
Right, and I sent yours out. So when is your case?
It was today.
And what happened?
They want me to go for a psychiatric evaluation.
This was a CPS thing?
What's a CPS?
Oh, Child Protective Services.
Child Protective, no, it is not. It's a it's like a citation that I got. Police came here for my son, and I asked for a warrant, and they put me in their car with handcuffs because they say that when I asked for to see the warrant, that I was interfering and obstructing. And another thing they said too, I can't resisting prosecution or something.
Okay, did any NLA members show up to your case? Did you have any witnesses?
No.
Where are you? Where do you live?
New London County.
Montville.
What state is that in?
Connecticut.
Oh, Connecticut. Okay.
I know where she lives.
Okay. All right. So, why do you live near her?
Me?
Jan?
No, I don't. I lived in North Stonington. I lived in Waterford.
Okay.
Different places in your area.
Okay. So, Sharon, what was the results today? Just a psychiatric evaluation?
They're going to order a psychiatric evaluation, and I will get it in the mail as to where to appear. And
so you have Linda working on the documents for that?
I have Linda working on the documents that, you know, when this first took place in last June.
Okay, and but now she's got to do some new ones for this.
Well, I did request the new docket because the old docket I have is 6 months old. And, of course, I didn't get it today, but I'll give a call in the next day or two, and hopefully I'll be able to get that. And Linda needs it. And I need to get the affidavit back into her. She sent it to me for some adjustments and editing and so on. So and it's in the queue right now. So and I think they set the new date for February 3rd. So I'm sure that they're going to send me the paperwork to do the psychiatric evaluation, which I will deny consent and mail back, which they never can respond. And I'll send them the copy and keep the original.
Okay.
'Cause I told the judge, I don't consent. I do not consent to that. He said, that's an order. So, well, it ain't going to work that way either.
Right.
Question?
Yeah.
Laurel had court today. Did you request for any court observers?
Yes,
she
did.
Because I didn't see anything any posted anywhere. Oh, well, that came out of the email, right? Okay.
Connecticut. I don't see. Maybe this is what I need to get clear. The thing is if we sent out everybody in the United States for courtroom observers, just the observers and not the calling, you know, everybody's going to get too many emails. And I really would like people to really read your newsletter because a lot of the calls to actions are just in that newsletter. And those are important, but we don't want to overwhelm people with all these emails. And so so what I'm doing is sending the people that are, if they live near another state, I will email that state too. But and then at the end, I will email, well, I saw it in your newsletter, Jan, that you had a call to action to call for Janie Sanders, and that went out nationally, and that's great because we can call, it doesn't matter where we live. And so we're trying not to overwhelm people with emails on all this stuff because, you know, they're coming in.
So the call to action wasn't posted, her case wasn't posted, that's...
Well, it should have been posted, but that's what Carl's supposed to do that. And I think he's just too busy with the, he's just been too crazy busy with the,
My personal opinion is if we don't support people who ask for help for a court observer,
right?
How do we expect that person as a member seeking help and nobody shows up, how do we expect them to want to volunteer to help NLA if they can't get any help at all?
Right, exactly.
I mean, I mean, when I was looking for court observers, I mean, I pounded anyone and everyone in NLA that I could to get myself posted or get someone out there, but I just didn't rely on NLA, anyone that I knew of that could come. And, you know, a few came, you know, but it's works. I mean, somebody sometimes wants to just rather watch a football game in the morning if there's one. I don't know. So we have to realize that we as an organization need to see that if people are asking for help, give them some guidance, give them some assurance. I mean, I talked to Laura yesterday, and I knew her case was going up, but I thought someone was going to be, I didn't know what to do. I'd call this person, that person. I physically couldn't have been there. But the calls would have been appreciated, I think, to the judge that say, hey, how can you order a psychiatric evaluation? And I'm glad you're saying I don't consent.
My name is Sharon. I didn't know if you were talking about me, but I don't think I requested for
people to call,
anybody to come, but... Linda, when somebody called me, they said that Linda had mentioned it. So, and I had talked to Linda just previous the other call. So we were talking about the case, and she didn't know that I had the case going on today, which was last night her and I talked. But I just told the girl that was coming, you know, by herself, and I said, you know, you don't have to come because you're pretty far away. You know, she was about 50 miles.
And, I wouldn't tell somebody not to come if they're willing to come.
Well,
I had a guy travel 3 hours one way from the west side of the state to come and run a camera for me. And he called me. He got the call out at 1 o'clock in the morning. He was at my place like at 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
So if people want to come, they're going to come.
Right. I would not tell her because she's a witness for you. I mean, the person that's supporting you has a right to petition the judge. And that's what we need.
I see.
You see what I mean? So I would not, you know, tell anybody that. I've
been in and out of courts for about 3 years, and I've never had a courtroom observer. I mean, anybody there from courtroom observer. But, you know, we just really started getting the courtroom observers going in about the last year or so.
Well, and then we got kind of behind because somebody had to leave. We're trying to get it together again, but we really need to get momentum.
Yeah.
I can't remember the guy's name that was heading it up before, but he was really good. I don't know what happened, but I really... enjoyed his...
That was Eric.
That was Brad Parsons.
Brad? Okay, I thought it was Eric, but maybe that was before Brad.
Yes, Eric was before.
Yeah, so it's important. And the other thing is that besides NLA members, your friends and family, you can ask them to be your supporters too.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
No, this is a very important thing, piece for us to do the courtroom observers. And maybe that's where people just don't, you know.
I think it is. I've come to believe that.
They change the docket stuff. I mean, the stuff that goes on in the court. If you don't have an affidavit, because they leave things off in the transcripts, you're lost. This one lady, Romanian lady, with her case, they're constantly leaving stuff out of the record.
Conveniently, right?
And even say stuff that she didn't say on record.
Yep.
She didn't say it, and they put it in there that she did.
I believe it.
We need people to be there to witness for you. And I know that what's going on, I've been hearing this more and more, but, of course, we're supposed to be able to film, and people are getting, thrown out because they're filming or whatever. So at least take a pen and pad in there and just keep writing. Be quiet and just keep writing and writing and writing, because you can write an affidavit.
Right.
I did that. I did, get the judge's name correctly, John Newson, and he's a magistrate, and he's always been pretty halfway decent, but he just can't get me to consent to anything, so he's trying to play, the nice guy. But the marshals they're kind of honing in on me, especially when I ask them to cancel the Anno Mundi calendar, that I want no part of it. It's not who I am. And I want to make sure that he does that, and he just lowers his eyes. So that tells me a lot.
What's an Anno Mundi calendar?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What is
The Anno Domini calendar is the calendar that in the year 5432, I think, the Pope, who was then Pope Gregory, turned the year back from 5432 and turned it back to 1582. And then that became the Anno Domini calendar, and I believe that it has something to do with after death, but I don't know. It's something I always remember. AD stands for after death.
Hi.
And this is from my childhood. And so then the birth certificates, or the death certificates, whatever one you want to call it, began. And everybody that is under the birth certificates is under the Anno Domini calendar. And so that means you're 3,760 years old in the real world calendar. Anno Mundi is the real world calendar. 5776 is the year right now.
Hey, can I say something?
Yeah.
All right, this is Patrick Christian in Northern New York. I know that there's a lot of stuff we're learning. Like, for me, I've learned a lot about different things in religion and different things in politics and stuff like that. But if we want people to come with us to court and to stand by us as a witness, we need to be as basic as possible, because not a lot of people study as much as we do. And it doesn't mean we shouldn't be ourselves and stand for truth in what we find in our research and share it with others. But what I'm saying, what my experience has been, is most people are not ready to hear what we have learned, and they're not ready to take it all in at once, and it's kind of like too much for them to handle. It's kind of like, walking up to them with stacks and stacks of books and saying, dude, what's up? Hey, check this out. Look at all what I found. And you throw all this pile of heavy books on them, and they're like, whoa, that is way too much for me to handle. That's overbearing me, and I can't deal with it. So... And it's not like we should have to live in a way where we can't share what we've learned with others, but in modern society, it's sad, but it's true, that most people cannot handle basic conversation about the Constitution. So my experience has been to just be as basic and simple as possible. Like, you know, no victim, no crime. And let's stick to the details and say, what are families for if we can't stick together? You know, what are friends for if you guys aren't going to come back me up? I'd back you up in court. I'm not asking you guys to go kill anybody. I'm just asking you to come with me to court and sit there and be a witness. Just watch what happens, because, you know, they got all their buddies there, and I just want you to take off work, you know, or try to schedule it around where you can just come with me and see what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to do something good. It took my wife and I really hounding family to finally get people to just do it. And what it took, to be honest with you, is it took a guilt trip, and then the second time was I had a family member actually witness the court beating me up, like not physically, like not punching me or anything in the face, but the judge was threatening me with contempt 20, 30 times. He threatened me with contempt, telling me to shut my mouth, stop talking. You know, and it was this basically badger and assault, like a verbal assault on myself. And after that, my brother-in-law decided he was going to go with me every time I go to court. He was so mad about what he had witnessed that he was like, I had faith in the system up until I saw what they did to you. And he said, that changed me. Now, I told my wife, I said, if I could get beat up in court like that every time to get one other person to see the truth or to see that things aren't what they seem, I'd do that all over again. And so but it's taken me like 3, almost 4 years now to get people to be like, look, guys, I may be a little different than you. I don't, you know, care much about sports or anything, but I care about the truth. I care about law. I care about our rights as equal. Everyone's equal. And so I just wanted to say that to encourage you guys to see, like, I think the scriptures talk a little bit about how instead of trying to get a friend's help from far off, to try and get help from your neighbors. I have a neighbor here that I haven't been trying to tally up points, but anytime he needs help, he's an elderly guy, and I help him. I'm a younger guy. I can help him when I can help him, and I do what I can to help him. And he just recently today told me, hey, I got my truck running, and if you ever need a ride anywhere, let me know. I'll give you a ride. So it's about building community, because I know I may not be the only one, but I just want to share with you guys, I had the experience of coming to truth in a lot of things, and it made me angry.
May I say something? Good evening. I'm Elena Strujan with the case State Farm Insurance, against State Farm Insurance. I have news.
Elena, this is Laura. Just a second. Let Patrick finish saying what he was saying, and then
I'm sorry. Sorry. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to say that making close relationships in your community and just straight up asking these people, putting their feet to the fire and say, can you come and support me for 1 hour? Just come with me to court. Just watch what happens. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to do anything. Just be there to support me, back me up. And that's what I experienced. I basically became so caught up in law study and all this stuff that I closed off relationships to people around me and then became like a loner and was like, well, how come nobody's helping me? And it's just a matter of getting back into the community and get connected with people at, you know, Bible studies and local, you know, going to the library at different events and just getting back out there and connecting with people so that they can see that you're not a threat and that you're not like this paper terrorist or any of those kind of like cliche, like BS, like labels they try and put on people who are just looking for the truth. So that was my little, just wanted to share that with everybody.
That was really good, Patrick. I'm glad you said what you said. So, that was really good input, because one of the things that I feel like is that these people that we're trying to educate, a lot of them don't have a clue of really who they're working for. And they don't understand a lot of stuff that we know now. So we are educating them with the documents, because the documents that we've been sending them is really plain English. That it isn't, to me, they're not hard to understand. And so when you throw out these other terms and stuff, and they don't even know what you're talking about, it's important to keep it as basic as possible. And I feel like that's the other thing, and also being as calm and just stand in your own power or empowerment, but not you know, bulldoze somebody when you're talking to them, like, or talk to them like they're stupid or anything. And, you know, we'll be able to make a lot of progress that way. So Elena, are you?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I'd love to hear your.
Okay, thank you.
Report.
Okay, thank you. It's something very interesting. The case was scheduled for February 2nd, I believe, for mediation. And the third judge in this case abandoned the case. So on December 24, I have two people in court. One was not, Sarah was not accepted. I spoke last time. But what is interesting, I had in this case a judge which denied my motion to compel. Okay, that judge is not anymore in the
Elena,
Supreme Court.
Can you tell him about Sarah, what happened that she was not accepted?
Sarah effectively tried to make a picture with the motto, "We trust in the God." And the security came and say, you cannot take pictures, put your camera. And she say, I have the right. And that security lady immediately called, and two people came and took Sarah off. And I went, because the judge wasn't in the room, was before beginning the trial, and I say she is right to record. We look here is a protocol. Look here, another cases, and after came chief security, and also effectively she was abused and didn't have the right to come back in the courtroom. In the courtroom, I try to explain to say this is my right to. So under common law jurisdiction, under in the court of record, already I had three judges. The case doesn't go anywhere, and it's 5 years. And the judge didn't accept. I said, Judge, last time I gave you the New York United States Constitution, New York State Constitution, and it's not any paragraph or say the common law is not recognized. And the judge said, finally the judge denied my, for the second time, motion to compel with discovery. So my motion to compel with discovery was denied by first judge and by third judge. And I say, why I have to accept thousands of dollars as paid to me since I didn't see that money. Why I have to accept it's about a 17th century painting which was stolen by my ex-landlord, and the State Farm Insurance falsifies the pictures, falsifies the evidence. I have proofs. Why I have to accept all this? And finally, the judge, I put another motion for December 24 for sanctions, because everything what I filed in the Supreme Court with this case was not in a computer. Was somewhere. I couldn't see anywhere in the history. And today I called and I asked what happened with my case. And the clerk told me Judge Brown will not continue this case, and another judge will continue the case for trial. And who was this another judge? I received an email. Is the second judge who... I saw him once, and he said, you are pro se, and I'm sorry, I do not want to continue your case. Your case will be taken by another judge. This was almost what he said. And the case was took a few months, six, 7 months, and finally was taken by the third judge. Now the case is back to the second judge. So for mediation, I have the second judge. And tonight I wrote a letter to the chief judge, at the Supreme Court of New York, and they say to give me another judge, since this judge do not want to, no, didn't want me to be pro se and to have the case, no, makes sense now to go mediation with him. And I will see what will be. I will put in to have, if it's possible, court observators. And it's very hard because these people, defendants, State Farm Insurance, stole motions, evidence, inclusive from the court. I have proof they their motion for a summary judgment was denied, and they appealed an appellate division first department, and they lost. And they filed the brief and the appendix. And an appendix, they sworn under oath. They submitted a copy with the original, which was in court. I went in court, and three motions was not in that appendix. A lot of replies, a lot of affirmations. So these people, I wrote to the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and I say, look, in your court, where is a lot of security, is missing a lot of documents. I went with the Chief Clerk to look at the file, and the file was vandalized. And I received a letter from the Chief Justice. She is not anymore. I discovered she's not Chief Judge at the Supreme Court anymore, to bring my copy from home to the court to complete the file in the court. I say even from my file was stolen. So in this way it's working, and I please you, I beg you, do something, do, because it's unbelievable what can happen in the court.
That's fraud upon the court. Make an affidavit. That's fraud upon the court.
Yes, it is. I ask the judge. I ask the lawyer from the State Farm Insurance, he was paid here $3,000 for transportation or whatever. Where is the receipt? Nothing. So, and I discovered they deposit the checks with forgery at TD Bank in New Jersey. And was a steam explosion in my apartment, and many paintings were destroyed. And two inspectors from State Farm Insurance came, and I went with them at storage, and I said, please, look at the paintings. They told me, no, we send you forms, and take pictures of the damaged paintings, and we pay you. I sent everything with proof of service, with receipts. State Farm say, no, we didn't receive. Thanks God, I can prove. Now it's over. No, they didn't want to hear about this. It's incredible. I found a lawyer, and he said to me, listen, you have a very good case, but my office have a small heart for this big giant State Farm Insurance. And it's unbelievable. It's 5 years I spent a lot of money, and the case cannot go to trial.
So what? So are Linda? Do you have Linda working on the documents for you?
Say again, please. Not yet. No, I didn't. And now is the second mediation, because I had the mediation before, and I don't know what happened, because it was quickly restored the case for trial. And okay. After, again, was a stop, and now is again to mediation. And I don't want mediation with the same judge who didn't want to have the case.
Okay. Okay, Elena, I'm going to ask some other people if they want to they want to talk about their case, or they have any questions.
I finished already. Thank
Great.
You.
So is anybody new or old or have any questions, or do they have a case they want to talk about?
I'd like to make a point about Elena's case.
Okay, good.
That's why it is important for court observers to be there so they can write an affidavit. So when this type of fraud happens, it can be documented. So Elena has her affidavit stating what happened, and then she has one or two other affidavits. And then you have the docket that she prints out, and then the missing motions after the docket, and it's all documented. And then you have fraud upon the court, and you can have RICO, set up RICO later on.
And
when NLA comes in, or when the grand jury comes in, and the Unified Common Law grand jury comes in, all this stuff is documented, and then lots of people are going to be taken care of the proper, lawful way, because
right. All
the documents are there. So the court of observers are very, very much needed. And the affidavits are very much needed. So as soon as you get out of court, start writing your affidavit, because if you wait hour, two, three, four, a day or two, you start forgetting stuff. So right after court, get into a room, go to a restaurant, sit down, have some coffee or whatever, and write it out, and then type it up at home and get it notarized, and make 2-3 copies, originals, and send them out to Elena so she can have it.
Right. Elena... Yeah. You had one that was going to film, and she got thrown out and intimidated, but you did have another courtroom observer with you, so did they write an affidavit?
No, he was, for the first time, he was new. Also, the lady was new, but the lady was more energetic, but she couldn't stay in the room. And I spoke with him. He's in Florida now. And he's a little upset because he has problems with foreclosure. And I didn't ask him. I didn't know to ask him to write an affidavit. But I believe it's not too late.
No, it isn't. It's not too late. But okay, so this is going to be. Jan, can you write up a thing about what you just said? I know it needs to be, I know we've been verbalizing it, but can you write that up for me? Because I think that needs to go on the call to action with, the courtroom observer, what the powers of the courtroom observer are too.
And also, the judge last time, I'm sorry.
Is that Jan the National or Jan Michigan?
God, yeah. Jan, you.
Jan Michigan?
Yes.
How John says you can listen to the tape. John says you can listen to the tape over and over and over again. You're going to have to refresh me, and I'll do what you're asking, okay?
But no, you...
Afterwards. After
okay.
the call, Skype me over, and we'll talk about it, and we'll get something down.
Okay, that would be great.
Oh,
okay.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So, anybody else have a case or have any questions?
I have a case and I got a question.
All right.
My case, the judgment has already been entered, and what's happening is, and the judgment is basically they can come and clean up my yard however they want to. When I say clean up my yard, they don't like 20 beehives that are on my property. I mean, this is like the end of everything. So I got rid of the beehives.
Oh.
Okay. I have 6.5 acres. So to tell you, you have 6.5 acres and you got your beehives that got to go because your neighbor like 200 feet away doesn't like them and he can barely even see them through the brush and everything else. And my garden, raised bed garden, my 5-gallon pail of manure and, pigeon poop and my rake and my shovel and my wheelbarrow that's in my garden can't be in my garden that nobody can see. I mean, this is International Property Maintenance Code, a foreign entity that's taking over our country to steal land. So anyway,
yeah.
we got rid of that stuff because to them it was a problem.
Oh.
So I'd rather try to comply, and there's like nothing left to comply. Judge came by and she says, Oh, you have too much firewood. Hello? I got too much firewood? I mean, my jaw just about hit the ground. When somebody comes to an area, you have 6.5 acres, wood that nobody can see except barely from the sky, and somebody tells you, you got too much firewood? Maybe you should put it in a dumpster and have it hauled away. Hello? I paid to bring this in, and I'm going to haul it away and put it in a dumpster? I mean, I could have done something not so Christian at that moment, but somehow God held me together.
Wow.
I mean, she would have had a big guy piggybacking on her, and well, I won't even say what else. But anyways, it's just unheard of where this country is going. So it is very important that courtroom observers, people start coming out to people's cases because things are being deleted, people are being abused, and we start packing out these courtrooms with people that are concerned, judges are going to be
heard of invasion of your privacy by common law.
Invasion of privacy, Jen,
this is John from Connecticut. I went through with you several times that who's the injured party? The judge comes on your property, there has to be an injured party. There has to be a summons signed by a judge, not an appearance by a judge. You need it in black and white, and you need blue ink signature to state that what the summons is that they're applying.
Well, they're done. The next thing they want to do now...
They're not done. Is... They don't have an injured party.
They don't get to say that they're done.
It's not over till you say it's over.
Jen, take some pictures off the internet of Detroit, Michigan. Send it to those people and ask them why they're not living up to that international law. Because you don't belong to that international law. You've never signed an agreement to agree to that. All they're doing is they're just
nice to see their own
over your eyes. They got you so hoodwinked, it's unbelievable. And they're trusting that you're godly and all this other stuff, and they're throwing that right in your face.
Most recently, we sent them.
Really, Jen, something really stinks in your case, and there's some other ulterior motive behind what's going on. And I don't know if you want to talk about this. You sent me a copy of your trust. My suspicion is that that's part of it.
Most recently, we sent a letter to the judge, to the township, to the opposing attorney that states that. We've hired an independent third-party inspector. He inspected the property. It is in compliance. The buildings are in compliance. The property is all in compliance. The garden is in compliance. You don't need to come out and inspect. Here's his paperwork. Here's his pictures. And we're done, basically, is what we sent them. So this Monday, they had a discussion in closed session about my case at the township. I haven't heard anything, and I'm
not
giving...
Were you there, Jen, were you there?
No, I wasn't there. They're in closed session.
Listen, you got to look up what a social compact is, and it's unconstitutional. They went behind your back and created a social compact against you.
That's conspiracy.
That's fraud. That's unconstitutional.
It's conspiracy.
Can I say something?
Yes, please.
I have a lawyer for my gas and oil stuff, and how he resolves a lot of his cases is through nuisance law. He says that's the easiest thing to prove.
And they sure are a nuisance.
Well, they're calling me a public and private health nuisance.
Counter-suit.
Well, they got you by the cookie.
But
because
they can't
resist
you, so you win.
I'm sorry?
Yours is a standing affidavit. In the long run, you win, then. They cannot respond. They're a fiction.
You know, Gerard looked at my paperwork that we sent out. He says that was good. Put it out. Send it out to X, Y, and Z. And... we're going to see what they respond with. But they want around 50,000. They want about $50,000 for their legal fees, for their lawyer fees, for their what. And they want to sell my lot, put a lien on my house, put me out on the curb.
You can put a lien on their house.
we're going to see what they're going to do and then approach National Liberty Alliance and see.
Hey, do you have email, Jan?
I have email.
I wonder if I give you my email, maybe you could...
You got Skype?
No. Well, yeah, I do, but I don't really use it that much. I don't really know that much about
navigation. Is this Sharon?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I got your number. 860?
Yeah.
I got it. Ending 8110?
Yeah.
Okay, I can call you.
All right. But call me tomorrow or, you know, during the day because I'll be here most of the day tomorrow.
What time would you like me to call you tomorrow?
Oh, I'm on early, and I'm waiting for the tune-up on my garage door, and so I should be around here, and you can call me at your convenience. I'm usually having coffee and sitting on the computer between 11 and 1.
Okay.
But I'm on a lot earlier than that, too.
Okay. So what's happening is the letter went out, and I'm waiting to see what their next move will be, and then I'm going to seek advice.
Don't wait.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Okay, Jan, when you gave them the letter, did you just send them a letter?
Certified. Receipt, return.
Was it a letter or was it a judicial notice?
It was a letter with a returned receipt, certified mail.
Okay, well, a judicial notice works best, usually in a case like that. Okay, the other question I have for you, going back to the beginning, is your property posted with no trespass signs?
It is now.
Okay, but it wasn't then?
No.
Oh. I have the 1215.org no trespass sign on my property, and I added to it. I wrote it all up. I printed it up on a big piece of metal and with paint. And I put anybody enters my property is entering into a private contract. And
I got
there's a $5,000 fee for each person who enters this property and a $25,000 fee for any agency like the town or the cops. If the cops come, if there's more than one occurrence for every occurrence. I've had 4 public officials come into my yard to serve me with papers. They got to my sign and they backed up. They read the sign and they left. They will not come on my property because of it.
Mine is $250,000.
Okay, well, that you have to also notice them that they were trespassing. They didn't have permission to come onto your property.
When they crossed, they entered on their own paperwork. I videoed it. And on their own, they entered. I couldn't tell them I won't let you come on, but I did tell them that you're entering my property on your own paperwork. And their paperwork is a court order. But if they cross, it says on there you're entering into a contract. So
right.
I got that on video.
Right, right. Well, now's the time to hit them for the fees.
If anybody'd like my email address, they can write it down.
Okay, hang on a second. Okay, go ahead, Jan.
That's J-A-N. That's J-A-N.
Yep.
P like Paul, A like Adam, C like Cat, H like Henry, N like Nancy, I like Igloo, K like Kite, @hotmail.com.
Okay, what state you live in?
Michigan.
Michigan. Oh, boy. Okay.
Could be worse.
Yeah, it could be here in New York, like where I live.
So, yes, I have some of those signs. I can Skype you over or email you over what I put together, what they look like.
Great.
They're pretty heavy duty.
Yeah, and I think everybody on National Liberty Alliance should have them. I think it should be made available to everybody. And that's a protection that we have for our property because we are not part of their corporate fiction, part of the bifurcation.
Well, Laura, if you want, I can Skype that over to you, and maybe Jan can have Carl posted on for to download. It's ready to be printed. They could go to it's sized. They can go to Staples and have it printed up in color and put in plastic seal, and put on a backboard. And there it is, $10 for each one.
That's worth its weight in gold, Dan.
Whoever talked about the nuisance law, there's two types of nuisance. While you were talking, I was looking it up. There's two types of nuisances that are private nuisance and public nuisance. A private nuisance is a civil wrong. It is the unreasonable, unwarranted, and unlawful use of one's property in a manner that substantially interferes with the enjoyment or the use of an individual's property without an trespass or physical invasion to the land. A public nuisance is a criminal wrong. It is an act or omission that obstructs, damages, or inconveniences the rights of the community. So your attorney that said that is perfectly, he hit on something that I haven't looked at yet, but it looks like it's something that everybody should look into.
That might maybe that should go on the sign too.
Well, yeah, because your name is your property. You know that, right?
Right.
Doesn't mean that it's land. It doesn't mean that it's your car. Your name is your property.
Right.
Thank you for looking that up.
Yeah.
That falls under Title 28, also 241 and 242.
Okay, it's about an hour. Close up the call, so I'm going to stop recording here.